Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I usually say that you can have it all as mm-hmm. long as you define what is all your is, all, exactly. right? That's yeah. it.
And everybody's so. All is very different.
Exactly.
You're listening to Women Tech Charge from the Evening Standard with me, Anne-Marie Imafidon. What happens when you really enjoy games but can't see ones that really speak to your passions? Can technology, in particular games, actually help people? In this episode, I'm talking to a woman who knows the answer to these two questions and so many more about entrepreneurship. She's also got a new YouTube channel out exploring the things you should know as a budding entrepreneur. Put the toaster on, we're getting started. I'm sat here 3,547 miles north of the equator, opposite a woman who has made millions from play. Her BAFTA award-winning game studio has made games such as Surgeon Simulation, Monster Mind, and I Am Bread. Welcome to Roberta Luca, co-founder of Bossa Studios. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. So that was a super, super short intro. With BAFTA and some cool games, which I'm sure some people may have played. Yes. What is the official elevator pitch for Bossa Studios?
Oh. We are a company that wants to take creativity to the next level.
Okay.
And the way that we do that is by creating incredible games that millions of people play, billions of people watch, and it creates legacy to the world.
Wow. Billions of people watch the games.
They have, yes.
How do they YouTube. Watch the games? On YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like those famous YouTubers that you see
yes,
playing games.
Exactly.
Which is the most popular game that people watch on YouTube?
Surgeon Simulator.
Okay. What happens in Surgeon Simulator?
You are a clumsy surgeon.
Uh-huh.
And you are a hand. You're not a person. You're just a hand.
And one hand.
One hand.
One clumsy hand
one
surgeon.
One clumsy hand surgeon. Okay. And the clumsy hand needs to do a heart transplant. On the back of a moving ambulance.
Why? Who comes up with these ideas?
Because the team that we have is like, they are just incredible minds. You know, we create 5 to 10 games every single month.
Oh, no way. Gosh.
Yeah.
How long have you been going?
8 years.
So that's a lot of months.
A lot of months, yes.
96 months worth of...
Yeah. A lot of
a
games,
lot of games.
I have been creating, yeah. And I think our speciality, as per se, is like this quirky, humorous, kind of very British type of game. So in addition to Surgeon Simulator, there's another one which is very famous, which is called I Am Bread.
Right.
And I Am Bread is, okay, is a... Oh. I Am Bread is a... You are a piece of bread uh-huh. whose mission in life is to be toasted.
And so you have to jump into a toaster, or what's the...
Yeah, so you start in the kitchen and then you have to avoid the jam so that the ants don't come onto you, and then you have to avoid the water in the sink, and then you walk until you get to the point of the toast.
And these games, these are real games that people can play on PC. I know PC, definitely. Yeah. What
PC,
other platforms
mobile,
can they play
on? Virtual reality, everywhere.
So you can literally sit on the tube and you can be a piece of bread trying to be toasted
you
and not
can.
Be jammed.
Yes.
Although jam sandwiches are almost my favourite.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about that. Can you have jam on after you've been toasted? Or it never gets there?
I never tried.
You've never tried? I'm going to break your game.
Yes, do it. When you get toasted, you win, right? So they have to start again. So, yeah.
And how early on was Iron Bread?
So Iron Bread was 2015.
Okay, so almost...
Surgeon Simulator was 2013.
Right.
But since then, it was on PC, right? And since then, we put on iPad and iPhone and virtual reality and PlayStation, Xbox, everywhere.
So 8 years ago, how does one... co-found Bossa Studios. How did you get there? How did you get to making games about breads and hands?
Okay, so that's a good question. I'm a computer scientist by training.
Right.
Grew up in Brazil.
No way.
And worked in television, worked in a TV broadcaster back in Brazil for 7 years.
I see.
And my my big projects there were to create new interactive products. At the time, we called interactive products with television, which was basically text messaging, Big Brother.
Text messaging, Big Brother.
Yeah. So basically, you as TV was totally passive. Mm. The broadcaster and my team created a lot of new ways for people at home to interact with voting for Big Brother, with doing quizzes and chatting with each other, everything about Big Brother, right? Okay. And so I entered this, you know, through technology, I entered in this whole, you know, mobile interaction and mobile apps very early on in my career.
Yeah.
And as I moved to the UK and I worked for Virtue, which was the luxury division of Nokia.
Virtue, the one that did the gold-plated phones. I remember that. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So,
are they still around?
No, okay. They're not.
Okay.
Nokia's not. No one is not.
Of course, Nokia's not there either. No, rest in peace, Nokia. Shout out. I had a 3310.
Yeah, well, I had all sorts of Nokias. and I still have a Virtue at home. So, yeah.
The gold-plated one.
One of them, yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, my boss gave to me when I left.
Oh.
So it was a very, very nice gesture.
Really nice gesture.
Yeah.
Gift, actually. It's worth a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And where was I? So, yeah, so I was working there, but I found a pattern that even though I was working these large organizations, Global TV in Brazil is like thousands of people, employees, right, as well. I was always like the rebel inside the organization. I was always the one that probably a lot of my colleagues hated me because I was doing some crazy things that would disrupt the way that they were doing things.
I see.
And the bosses of my bosses were always kind of giving me projects. They're, hey, Roberta, take this on and, you know, figure it out how you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like a very entrepreneurial mind inside a large organization.
Yes.
And then after a while at Virtue, was like, okay, this is pretty awesome, but I'm not impacting anything in the world, right? It's like I'm selling luxury mobile phones.
Mm.
So I really want to use my background and my technology and my rebel mindset to create something that actually has impact in the world. And I came across, well, my two co-founders have been making games for, you know, over 20 years.
Right.
And they needed someone who would have the mindset of growth, of connecting with audiences, and kind of to build the publishing side of the company. So typically in games, you have the developers who develop the game. So they're purely about developing the product.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the publishers, traditionally, they're there used to be like Sony PlayStation and for, you know, Microsoft Xbox were publishing the games, meaning they were marketing everything. Mm-hmm. So I joined them. We joined together to create this company that actually does end-to-end from development to engaging with consumers.
And back then, 8 years ago, was that a fairly new concept to have everybody all in one and
in one place? It was.
And what was, did you have a platform? So you didn't have an Xbox or Nintendo or PlayStation? What was your...
No,
at the distribution.
At the time was Facebook. So it was a time when Facebook games were kind of taking off.
Yes.
So you had all of the new casual gamers coming to games, like the Farmville.
Yeah,
exactly.
So annoying. Yeah. I still get requests for Farmville now.
Really? Oh
gosh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
So we, as well, per our quirkiness and different ways to look at the world, we created Monster Mind, which is the game that we won a BAFTA for.
I see. Okay.
And Monster Mind was you played as B-movie monsters and you had to build cities, mm-hmm. like, you know, Cityville. Similar to Farmville,
but
you also had to unleash those monsters into your friend's city to destroy their cities.
Right, sounds good.
So yeah, it was very quirky and nice and different, and was kind of challenging the way that people were creating the Farmvilles and the Cityvilles of this world. We believed at the time, our hypothesis was that just like all the casual gamers are now flocking to Facebook, the more mid-core to hardcore gamers will do the same.
I see. Okay, cool. So you're trying to get in ahead of the competition.
Yes.
It didn't work out.
Oh,
it didn't. Okay. But you're still here. Yeah,
I know.
It did work out.
I mean, it worked out because we won a BAFTA award.
Exactly.
So it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But we didn't make money.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to make money as much as I want to make a huge impact in the world. Right?
Yes. And get BAFTAs.
Yeah, and get BAFTAs and everything, right? I want it all.
Yes. Well, why not? And so you should have it. You can have it all in terms of BAFTA versus money versus distribution. So I want to ask you about building Bossa.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been 8 years, like you said, and you're at 87 people.
Yeah.
When you began... it was you and your two co-founders. Did they already have a team? Did they already have people? Or what does that growth look like?
So from the moment that we set up the company from the moment we incorporated?
Yes.
So I started to work on my weekends on Bossa while I was traveling 3 hours a day to go to Verne. Like insane. We rented a very tiny space in a circus space in Shoreditch.
Oh, I think I know the one.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
where they do circus classes.
They do circus classes. Yeah. And they also charity, etc. So they rent very cheaply. Well, they used to rent very cheaply the rooms that they have there.
Yeah.
And it was like a tiny little room that we could only fit like five people or so.
Okay.
And I was going there every evening to help to build the company. And I still remember one day that it was like midnight. And then suddenly someone opens the door. It's a clown. Because they just like, you guys still here? And I'm like, oh my God. Okay, we're still alive.
She's literally shaking telling this story, by the way.
We're still alive after looking at a clown at midnight.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to leave now. So it was like my life for the first 6 months of Bossa.
Oh, wow.
And then eventually we got an investment.
Okay.
And then we had put a little bit of savings into the company.
How did you get that investment?
So my co-founder pitched to a lot of companies, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Elizabeth Murdoch, who was the founder of Shine Group, Shine Group used to be a company that were made of 24, 25 TV production companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they, before she sold the company to News Corporation, she was looking at acquiring a games company to go into games, to kind of, you know, embed the
across the group.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The knowledge of games into the group.
Mm.
And then she found us and she was very, very, you know, amazed about everything that we're doing. So she was our first investor. So she Shine Group invested in Bossa very early on. It was kind of a partial acquisition very early on of the company. And that was enough for us to build a team. So in the beginning, we were like the three of us plus another two to three freelancers.
Yeah.
And then over time, we built the team with the... Yeah.
And for anyone wanting to go into gaming, what would be your tips? Anyone that wants to get started somewhere in the game, so in the gaming game?
If they want to make games, they should make a game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like learn Unity?
Learn Unity.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Look it's up. Unity, U-N-I-T-Y.
Yeah. It's very, very low. It's like the barrier to entry is so low nowadays for you to make a game.
Okay.
Even if it's a very, very simple game that, you know, if you make something and you go to a company and say, hey, I made this, you are far ahead from everyone who would send a CV.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
And if you're an artist, then create some art for a particular game, or, you know, kind of say, look, I saw this game and I think the art of this game could be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, you know, that becomes your portfolio. So okay. I think nowadays is if you really want to go into games, you take action.
I like it. This is a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Take action. Will games change the world?
It is already changing. It's changing because it changes the way that we think. There's tons of research that it's shown that there are some studies that are showing that doctors should prescribe games for a certain age because that helps you with your cognitive abilities. Okay. That helps you kind of feel younger and exercise your creativity and etc.
Right.
It helps you to with problem solving a lot, mm-hmm. a lot. So yeah, I think it's already changing a lot the way that we see the world. And it will change even more because the more we live in this Ready Player One world of games, the more we will reconnect our neurons differently.
Wow. Games as medicine.
Yes.
Never heard of that.
There's research on that, yeah.
It's the best medicine. Maybe games is the second best.
Love.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Maybe I'll go home and make a game today. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You should join one of our game jams. So we do game jams on a monthly basis. That's why we create 5 to 10 games. So yeah, we jam. We're jamming.
And that means you make, yeah. Oh yeah. Jamming. Is that the background? Is that the background music every time?
Well, every time we're like, we have to do the cliche. We're jamming. Everyone.
Talk me through a game jam. What do we do at a game jam? How long does it last?
It lasts 2 days.
Two days every month. Oh my goodness.
It's like a hackathon.
Right, okay.
So, but it's during the week. So we stop the whole company.
Right.
Everyone can join. We usually have a theme and we throw the theme to the teams. They organize themselves however they want.
Yeah.
So they work with people who probably they don't work on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now 87 people. So it's kind of quite a lot of people kind of, you know, reconnecting to their colleagues. And they create new games, and there are only two rules. One rule is the game needs to be playable after 2 days. playable.
Oh, so what they make has to actually work.
It has to work.
Gosh,
yes.
That's a big role.
Yeah. And the second one, they cannot do on their own. They have to be in a team.
I like that.
Which means that people pitch their ideas to each other.
Yes.
So there's a natural selection of the best
like
ideas.
Bubbling together.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
If I come to the next game jam, like, what kind of themes do you have at the game jams?
Oh, it depends. So we had one that was all about asymmetry the
right,
other day.
Okay.
And we created one that was really funny that actually... So asymmetry meaning that one person who's playing plays a role in the game that is different to another person who's playing the game.
And they can't both... Like, they have to rely on each other, right?
Yeah, they kind of take... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one of the games that we created... is actually it's a pig who is in a farm, bunch of pigs who are in a farm, and they are trying to keep themselves dirty, but then the farmer is running after them to try to clean them.
Right.
So there's this dynamic.
But how do you
choose,
how do you know who's the winner? Is it literally the pig person, the person controlling the pigs?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So that was one that came from the asymmetry theme. We had all sorts of different ones. It's like we had clam simulation, which is where the Iron Bread came about. We had
clam simulation. What does that mean?
It's a genre that we created. We're like, okay, can we make something that it's as clumsy as Surgeon Simulator? And then Iron Bread came about. So clam simulation. So it's not a real simulation. It's just clam simulation. We had habitual games,
right,
which is the one where World Adrift came about.
Yes.
So World Adrift is our latest game that is live.
And Worlds Adrift, I had that on my notes here to ask you. So give me the premise for Worlds Adrift.
You are, so Worlds Adrift is not so funny.
Oh,
funnily enough.
Okay.
But you do play the guitar in the game.
Okay.
So you are a traveler and you are living in a world that has been destroyed by humanity through all the technology that we created. And
a bit Black Mirror-ish.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then the world kind of all went apart and created floating islands.
Right.
And there are thousands of floating islands in this world. And your mission, you are a traveler and you want to build ships together with your friends to explore new worlds. So you need to build things together. You need to travel together. You need to find new knowledge or old knowledge so that you can rebuild the society, the civilization.
I see.
So yeah, it's a little bit more.
It's very different.
It's very different. I know.
It's crazy. So this is all from one studio, right? And and so it's a nice thing, or it's interesting to think that there's so many different games that you've put out, and they're so diverse and so different. And so it means that actually you don't have all this pressure on just one type of game or on just one game, which in some ways is probably why it fits you so well as an entrepreneur, someone that kind of everything is new and keeps coming.
Exactly.
It's like the variety that's the spice of life is built into running a game studio.
Yeah, exactly. I think I would be very bored if I was running a company that I had to focus in one product only forever, which... I mean, the majority of the tech companies in the world are actually one product, right?
They are very one product with several features.
With several features,
yeah,
exactly.
Whereas you've got all these product lines.
Exactly.
Is it ever tough to kind of stay across all of them or on top all of them or on top of all of them even? Or is it, I don't know, it's something you're just now used to that's just, you kind of, if Iron Bread has a resurgent, then you kind of do what you can. And if Worlds Adrift is doing really well, then you kind of focus on that. Is that how it runs?
Yeah. So we have a lot of meetings to agree on priorities and roadmap and what's going to go in. How many people are going to be
like a league of
exactly
games, like
yeah
a long, like a leaderboard of
who's
going
to be on each game at what point in time and etc. There's all the cycles of the games from pre-production to production to launching to post-launch to growth, right? So we work a lot on this portfolio management type of thing to make sure that we are focusing on the right games at the right time to get the best out of the audience that really loves our games. But we don't get it right all the time. So okay. we had to cancel quite a lot of games over the time. So it's very true that our failures have been informing a lot of our successes as well.
So of those 960 odd games, how many have been retired?
Oh, majority.
Okay.
So we did a calculation the other day. 1% mm-hmm. of the games that we created actually mm-hmm. became successful.
Okay.
So it's pretty harsh, but it is how creativity works, right? Mm. You have to create 99 bad things to create a great thing.
Exactly. There we go.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's nice though. It's fun to hear that because you've got that 1%. I guess I put success in air quotes, success rate, which turns it into a profitable business. So you don't even need all the 100. You just need that 1%.
Exactly. But you need the 100 going. To find the one.
You
right?
do. But for you to keep going at such a big rate. So I think kind of if you look online, do your research, you had £10 million worth of investment come in 2017.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the scale of the business that you're running. So it's not, you know, these 10 games that are kind of doing a little bit, it's quite a big,
yeah,
it's quite a serious thing.
It's a serious thing, yeah.
Tell me about the size of the gaming industry.
Oh, okay. So there are 2.2 billion people playing games in the world.
Wow, okay. Out of the 7 in total.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
That's quite a lot.
It is a lot.
On Twitch, which is one of the platforms where people play games and share their experiences with others, mm. year before, they had 335 billion minutes watched globally.
Oh, crazy. So on Twitch?
Like, on Twitch alone. Oh, I'm not even talking about YouTube.
Oh, my goodness.
Just Twitch, which is live, right?
So people watching live. Like EastEnders?
Yeah, they watch people playing live. So the streamers, they called creators, streamers, whatever. Mm. They actually do that for a living. Mm. So nowadays it's a viable option, right? So all these influencers and creators, they're going to YouTube, they're going to Twitch
yeah.
and they are playing games for an audience. And their audience is pretty, you know, loyal to them. And for us, we're like, as a company, the best we can do is to make sure that all of those zillions of creators are actually getting hold of our games and sharing with their audiences.
Is there like a world record for the most number of people playing a game at the same time?
There might be. I never searched for that. Well, games are bigger than music and movies industry together.
Which I think is insane.
So it's like,
when you think of how big like Hollywood is, and you've also yeah. got Nollywood and you've also got Bollywood.
Yeah.
Is that included in that cinema figure, or is it just
that's
the one?
All,
the one
that's
wood?
All included.
It's all included.
Well, that? According to research, right? You never know.
Who are these researchers?
Yeah, exactly.
I bet they didn't look at Bollywood.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
So I bet they're all gamers.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would be tough to do a Women Tech Charge podcast on gaming without mentioning the swear word that is Gamergate.
Oh my God.
and this sense that actually the gaming world has had to open up.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know what Gamergate is, how would you explain?
Oh my God.
The situation that was.
The situation that
is.
Was.
That has been.
So yeah. Basically, a bunch of men criticizing women for playing games mm. online.
Mm.
That's it. So that's in a nutshell. It's like you don't belong, and being very mean to them mm. all the time. So you had I don't remember her name, but you had a lady who was actually a YouTuber who was talking about games all the time, and she got like, you know, death threats and etc. because she was not allowed to be in the community. She's not a real gamer and etc. etc.
Just because she's a woman. I mean, the girls have always been there. They might not have been in the ads, but the girls have yeah. always been there. Maybe not me, but definitely you playing games alongside. I mean, do you have any hope? Do you have any? I mean, quick fixes is a silly question really to ask, but what's your experience of the kind of Gamergate side of things? What's that been?
I think there is hope, yes. Mm. There are a lot of quick fixes. There are a lot of long-term fixes. I think there is the perception, so we need to change perception. And media plays a huge role in that. So just like the technology industries, like we need to show more women leaders and game designers and creatives, everyone who's actually creating games, they need to be more, you know, they need to be on Wikipedia, they need to be on the spotlight as much as men are. I think also there's a massive role that you play that is actually going to younger girls and saying, hey, there's a lot of creativity for you here in the games industry, so it is safe for you to go in there. There's also a lot of education from inside the companies, right? So I work very closely nowadays with our head of HR to make sure that everything that we do in terms of outreach for Bossa, being like the way that we write the job description, yes, to the way that we present ourselves out there, to the way that, you know, each interview that we give to different publications, that we actually being very like gender friendly, yes, and being diverse, yes, right?
Yeah.
And I think it takes, you know, a few brave people like me, which is a very rare, you know, a very tiny Venn diagram, a woman in games, computer scientist, founder of a technology company in London, right? Immigrant, right? To kind of try to brave this world and be someone there who other girls can see this is possible.
I could be running that game studio and making excellent games, right? Like Iron Bread.
And I see that as like we do every now and then like a Reddit AMA.
Yep.
With the girls and the women at Bossa to share.
I see. Okay.
How we do things, and you know, people ask a lot of questions to us. I think it's all about transparency. It's all about demystifying that. And I had conversations with like with very small studios that are just a bunch of dudes in a room, right? And they have a lot of difficulty. They're like, oh my God, it's like we put ourselves in such a difficult situation because now we're like eight men in a room and no woman wants to apply to any job. It's like, well, yeah, you are in a very difficult situation indeed.
There are things you can do about that.
Yeah. So I do think that it's like it's a combination of role models with actively hiring people, actively when you are hiring to make sure that you have the right pool, a diverse pool of people who are applying to jobs, and also providing the right training inside the organization, because we know a lot of women they don't ask for promotion, they are less confident than men. So there's a lot of things that we need to help them.
My thing is always to kind of edit the environment so that you almost don't need to necessarily train women to do things. The processes are just there to allow all kinds of people then to be promoted or to be visible on whatever projects it is that they're working on. I think the interesting thing with the Gamergate side though is that I think often when we talk about women in technology, we're talking about the industry and we're talking about the companies themselves, whereas Gamergate seems to, or was also very much a community thing rather than a company thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is the other side where it's a slightly niche issue or problem that we're trying to deal with, which you know, notwithstanding the fact that I run the sessions that I run for girls to be able to get creative with technology, when you talk about games, so many people play games that the issue is less even about trying to attract people to games. It's just almost giving, you know, allowing them to be able to stay in games and not feel, because like we said, a game is a game, you know, it's this experience that you have with these other people. It's a very social thing. And so if you're in that kind of environment and you've had a really positive experience doing that, then there's no reason why you wouldn't. It's more that you then might come up against negative experiences.
Exactly.
That then gets in the way of you.
Yeah, I agree. You know,
getting toasted or whatever else it might be. YouTube is one of your latest things that you're working on. I watched the trailer on your YouTube and there's some words that jumped out at me.
Okay.
Take action being one.
Yes.
Because we're about tech in charge here.
So
I feel like there you go. Our brands are very closely aligned. But secondly, social impact, which you did mention a little bit when you're talking about setting up. Yeah. So what does that look like for you? Like is there a particular type of thing that you want to socially impact? Is it a wider sense? And why is it something that you think is important to you in particular?
I think it's I don't want to be on planet Earth doing things that don't matter to people.
Okay.
And don't change somehow the behavior of people in a positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
So like the games that we make are all about creating that moment of fun, memorable moments to millions of people. Mm-hmm. The things that I talk about on YouTube are things that are actually improving you as a human being, as an entrepreneur, etc. And most recently, I started to do a little bit of angel investment as well.
Okay. With Angel Academy or separately?
No, separately. Okay. Yeah. So just through my connections and people recommending stuff, it's like super early stages, yeah, but and very, very tiny amount of investment.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that whatever I get out of the things that I'm creating, I'm actually multiplying that with other people and specifically women who are starting new technology companies.
And it's not restricted to gaming, so you've done wider technology.
No, it's wider, okay. Yeah. So to me, it's about social impact is about impacting human beings, impacting other human beings to create better things to the world. Mm-hmm. And I do that with my team. I do that with, you know, the little team I have working with me on the YouTube channel and through my investments. That's to me, it's I want to leave this planet to making a little bit something that's a little bit better than before you arrived. Before I arrived, yeah. It feels too big, but it's like I have, you know.
Well, people say this, yeah, but then anytime you watch any kind of movie, so you know, Back to the Future.
Yeah,
you
love
know
it.
That he's always like, "What's it? You're not allowed to." The rule is, there's a rule. What's the rule in Back to the Future when you go back in time?
What is it? Oh, you cannot talk to yourself in the past, right, or in the future.
Yourself or your family or your relatives or something, right?
I think it.
Yeah, everyone, there we go. Everyone? Cameron's nodding. No, you can talk to him. So there's some stuff around. He's not like yeah, his mum's almost about to like fall in love with him, and that's not allowed.
Yeah,
to happen.
Exactly.
But it's funny because anytime anyone does anything like that, this whole idea of like the butterfly effect comes back in. And so they're like, if you go back in time, don't say anything or don't even step on a beetle, because then, you know, a whole line of monkeys may never happen. Whereas where we're here, like, yeah, I just want to make this small, small change. And assuming that just because we've made a small change, it won't have like a big impact.
Over time, it should, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you look
because
at a graph,
you have I am bread.
Exactly. If you change the angle by 1 degree,
then that makes a massive
over time,
exactly,
right? It becomes like,
yeah. So it's a thing.
So yeah,
I think we should take what we do. We should almost assume that everything we do is making change, and so everything we do should be done with care. And should be done in that context of you are the butterfly that's flapping your wings.
Yeah.
You're a bit bigger than a butterfly and you're doing a bit more than flapping wings. But it's a massive thing.
Yeah, we're almost going to space, right? So almost colonizing another planet.
Yeah.
So
I think a lot of us wish we'd already colonized another planet, because there's a lot of rubbish and nonsense going on in this world. So you are a millionaire because you're running this successful business. I'm going to call you Roberta Luca, the millionaire entrepreneur. What do you do to relax? Given that your job is gaming, do you ever need respite?
No.
Do you game?
No,
I do
game, but I
be like
I do
Nando's
yoga.
If you work at Nando's.
No, I do yoga almost every day.
Yeah. Oh, no
I do meditation.
A particular kind of yoga.
Yeah.
Do you do Bikram yoga?
I don't know. I think it's Vinyasa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's, I do on Gaia. Have you heard of Gaia?
No.
So it's an app that you can also put on your TV and et cetera. And there are loads of teachers. So I do at home.
Is it free?
No, I think it's £40 per year.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's pretty cheap.
And it's an app for your television. And then you do Vinyasa at home.
TV, Venus, mobile, everywhere, laptop. So it's everywhere. It's like
I love the idea of the mobile. Yeah. You just put it down on the floor.
Exactly. So when I'm traveling, it's perfect.
I see.
So I do yoga when I'm traveling on my phone, because I have my phone. And I do meditation as well, because it's a guided meditation from Gaia.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the meditation is a very particular one, because I spent years not into meditation at all. It's like, what is the point of me being silent for 10 minutes, just looking, perceiving
inside
my breath,
yourself,
right?
Yeah.
Impossible for me.
Because you can't sit still.
Yeah. Yep. And, but then I found this one that basically you repeat a mantra for like 40 times.
Is it a positive? Oh, you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it's called. It's meditation. So there's meditation for increasing your courage, for reducing anxiety.
Are you saying in English or are you saying it in different language?
No, in different language. It's, I think, oh, okay. I don't know what is it. What is it? So it's a mantra, an Indian mantra?
Is it?
Perhaps?
And so you don't know what you're saying. You're
I don't know what I'm saying, but the teacher tells me.
And you feel more confident that, and you feel more whatever.
Exactly.
Saying it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But I think the trick of that is because I spend 10 minutes saying that word and not thinking about anything else, which is what meditation is about.
Clear your head.
Yeah. So it clears my head. And I like running on the treadmill as well, at least once a week.
I went for a stint where I gymmed every day for 4 months before. I went to Coachella. So I was like, I need to get Coachella body, I guess. Who knew that was a thing? But I found that actually gymming in the mornings and like counting reps or weights or whatever I was doing meant that I was almost meditating because like my head would be completely cleared.
Yeah.
Doing it. But I don't think I've ever done meditation. I've done yoga classes.
Yeah, yoga classes do the same. I do contemporary dance as well.
That's cool.
I love it.
Do you do performances?
No.
Oh.
No. I love dancing. I love dancing. I love singing. I'm a terrible singer. I'm probably better dancer than singer.
Okay.
But yeah.
It's all the same kind of creative.
Yeah. I like stimulating my mind and my body.
You're very STEAM. This is what we call STEAM. So you know STEM.
What
is STEM is science, technology, engineering.
I'm very STEAM, yeah.
STEAM with the arts in it. You're kind of totally. Living, breathing STEAM kind of person.
Yeah.
STEAM millionaire.
One day.
So thank you very much for coming, Roberta.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
I think if nothing else, people should remember just to take action.
Indeed. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an amazing conversation.
You can find Roberta on Twitter and Instagram at Olicca, O-L-I-C-C-A. Bossa Studios is on Twitter and Instagram at Bossa Studios. And her new YouTube channel is Beta Luca. For the latest news, sports, entertainment and more audio content, visit standard.co.uk. We're Evening Standard on Twitter and on Insta it's evening.standard. I, Anne Marie, live on Twitter at aimafidon, good luck spelling that, and on Instagram at notyouraverageami, which is a little bit easier to spell. Get in touch, have a chat, ask questions using the hashtag WomenTechCharge.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.